Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
We're going to go completing the halachas of Muktzah. We're in Siman Peches, the 80th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the second part of Muktzah. We looked at last time the ideas of the five different categories of Muktzah. We looked at Muktzah Machmas Gufa, something which has no utility, no alad, something which came into being on Shabbos. We looked at Kli Shem Latal Isra, an item which is usually used for something which is prohibited. We looked at Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis, something which is very expensive and therefore is set aside. And Kli Shem Latal Heter, something which is used primarily for mutar activities. We're now going to look at four different concepts today, and that is Mevatel Kli Mehechanoi, which is taking away the utility of a kli on Shabbos itself. Number two is setting things aside. Number three is touching and moving muktzah. And number four, finally, is moving muktzah under extenuating circumstances. Let's jump straight in. Mevatel kli mehechanoi. So let's just understand this through the questions that we asked. Three basic questions. Can you place a vessel underneath muktzah to catch it? So for instance, if you have a candle, can you place a bowl just underneath the candle on Shabbos to catch, let's say, the extra oil or the, well, let's say there might be sparks that come out of the flame? The answer is no, because that makes that vessel into a basis. It makes it into a base which will catch the muktzah and therefore itself be not usable on Shabbos. So once, let's say, parts of that candle or oil fall into that bowl on Shabbos, I may not move that bowl. And if I'm not allowed to move that bowl, I'm taking a bowl which has utility and I'm making it not viable on Shabbos. That is prohibited. Next question. Can a basket be turned over for chicks to climb onto? So let's say I have a pen of chickens, of hens. May I take a basket and place the basket down so they can use it as a step stool to reach into their pen? The answer is yes, because once the chickens or the hens have stopped stepping over it, then it's usable again. So I've not taken away the full utility of that item. Finally, third question in this section is, can you place a vessel to catch a leak of water and from the roof? The answer is yes, if the water is usable. Meaning, let's say it's still clean water, then that water is not muktzah, therefore the bucket that I'm placing is not a problem. If it's dirty water, then it's forbidden, because then essentially you're making this kli, this vessel, this utensil, unavailable for further use on Shabbos. Moving to our next concept now, and that is setting things aside. We're going to look at five questions here. Can you handle earth or sand on Shabbos? So we pointed out before that earth and sand in general is considered muktzah machmas gufa. It has no utility and may not be moved on Shabbos. However, the Kitzur points out that if it's scattered around the yard, it's forbidden. But if it's piled up in a particular place, then we consider it set aside. So this earth is designated for something, then its designation means that it's not muktzah. What if I broke off a stick to swat away flies on Shabbos? May it be moved? The answer is yes, because if it was designated before Shabbos, I broke the stick before Shabbos and I put it aside to be my fly swatter, then it is all right. But one may not pick up a twig from the yard on Shabbos and use it because it was not set aside as such. What happens if a non-Jew broke off this twig to be used as my swara? The answer is it's still muktzah, because when Shabbos came in, it was attached, and therefore what's separating me and it is a melacha, and it therefore was muktzah, it was set aside for not be able to be used. May wooden boards be handled? The answer is yes. If it belongs to a carpenter, then one may not use it, because a carpenter usually specifically designates their wooden boards only for their usage. But otherwise, if you have like planks or things like that, they're generally speaking, they're open for many uses. And if you use it to prop up or to hold something down on Shabbos, that's fine, as long as it's not an issue of boina. And that is fine. We move into our next concept, and that is touching and moving a muktzah object. The gezeira of muktzah, the prohibition of muktzah, is not to move an item. Touching it is fine. So one may touch, as an example, if one's by a car, one may touch the car, one may not move the car, as an example. So a few basic questions that in the section, we're going to look at nine questions here. Can you handle a non-muktzah object which is sitting on a muktzah object? The answer is for sure. So let's say I have, as an example, I have a cherry which is resting upon a saw. May I pick the cherry up off the saw? The answer is yes, because you don't have to move the muksa item by picking up what that's which is on it. Question number two, what about touching a candelabra? So it depends. If it's solid and standing, there's no problem because by touching it doesn't move it. But if it's a hanging candelabra, then it's a problem because by touching it, it's likely that it's going to now start swaying because it's tied to the ceiling. Can I cover a muksa item? The answer is yes, because you don't move it. So let's say there's a muksa item on the floor. There's a safety pin. I'm allowed to put a basket over it. Is there a allowed way to move muksa? The answer is yes, kala'achar yad, which means indirectly, not directly. So one would be able to move it. Let's say in certain circumstances, that's picking up the item that it rests on. We'll get to some more details in that. Or in a way that's perhaps, let's say, with one's elbow or one's foot. Can you shake muksa off a vessel? The answer is yes. If it fell there unintentionally and you need the vessel or the space. If it was intentional, we'll get to the next chapter, the complexities that are related to that. What if the muktzah was placed intentionally before Shabbos? So if that's the case, then the item becomes a base and may not be handled. What happens if I don't need the mutar item? So let's say something fell. Let's say a screwdriver falls on our table on Shabbos and I don't need the table, so I cannot shake it off, even though technically speaking, it would be allowed, but there's no utility to moving it, so it is not allowed. May I carry a child who is holding a rock? The answer is only in a private domain, because otherwise it would be considered carrying. But in terms of picking out the muktzah, only if it's necessary for the child's health, and they won't let go of the muktzah. So you tell them, you put it down, they scream and they cry. You may pick up the child even though they're holding a rock. What happens if the child is holding a coin? So that's not allowed even in the private domain, because if the coin falls, you might be tempted to pick it up as well, unlike a stone. So even holding his hand and walking the child, if they're holding a coin, is not allowed. So therefore, one would not be able to do that under the circumstance, even if the child will get very upset. We look at our final concept today, and that is moving muksa under extenuating circumstances. Let's jump straight in. We're going to look at a bunch of questions. We have 7 questions to be specific. Is it permitted to move a corpse on Shabbos? So a person passes away. The answer is one may not move a corpse. What happens if I want to remove a pillow that is beneath the person who passed away? So the pillow does not get the smell of the corpse. The answer is yes, as long as removing that pillow will not move the actual body itself. What happens if the jaw is slowly opening? So I may tie it in place so it doesn't open further, but one cannot push it closed on Shabbos itself because that is moving it. What happens if there's a fire and one wants to protect the body? So one may move the body in such a circumstance by putting a permitted item on it, like food on the body as well. Similarly, if the body is in the sun and one is protected from being in the sun, one can put a mutar item, like an item of food, on the body and move the body that way as well. But other than these circumstances, it's not so simple to move a body on Shabbos. And some people think that when people die, then everything is suspended, all of Shabbos is suspended, one can call the funeral home and let them know. And the truth is, well, that is not the case. Unless under extenuating circumstances that there's somebody else in the house, as an example, who may be in trauma from the body being there and they have to see it in a small house, then one may ask a non-Jew to call the funeral parlor. But other than that, one is not allowed to do this. A corpse is considered muksa machmas gufa, has no utility and may not be moved at all. Does this allow one to bring the body into the street if there's a fire? The answer is no. One can only bring it to the yard, and a non-Jew should be enlisted. May repulsive items, maybe like excrement, be removed? The answer is yes. That's called a graf shel re'i. If it's in a living space, one may remove such items. Can a bedpan be returned when empty? So the answer is if it a pot or a bedpan or garbage can be removed, it still has utility on Shabbos. Also, if it's needed for kavod habrios as well. So this becomes an issue. Let's say there's people are eating and there's bones which are on the table. So although bones have no utility and therefore are a problem to move, but one may move them off the table because they are disgusting. If the garbage is full, when we move the garbage out of the house on Shabbos, these are called graf shel ri, and these are circumstances under which mukta may in fact be moved. With this, we conclude the second section of our halachas of mukta. Have a wonderful meeting.